I take from my text the extended account of the Gospel of the Transfiguration, which we have just heard proclaimed. I pick up from where the lesson from the lectionary left off and what the Gospel text says directly afterwards. And when Jesus was come to the multitude, there came to him a man falling down on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have pity on my son, for he is a lunatic and suffereth much. He falleth often into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked him. The devil went out of him. The child was cured from that hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus secretly and said, Why could not we cast him out? Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For amen, I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Remove from hence to hither, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this kind is not cast out, but by prayer and fasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I draw your attention to the stained glass window of the Transfiguration miracle, which is the first stained glass window here on the rectory side of the church, right next to the Grotto of Lourdes that we have here. And this window is actually a reproduction in stained glass of a very famous painting by the artist Raphael. And Raphael's painting shows the top, the Transfiguration of Christ there on Mount Tabor, and then on the bottom, this scene of the possessed boy. And you see how the disciples are unsuccessfully trying to drive out the demon from him. This painting was Raphael's last work before he died at the age of only 37. He died on Good Friday in the year 1520. But the stained glass window artist has made one important change to the scene that Raphael paints. The artist for the window has put the figure of the Blessed Virgin Mary into it. You see her there making intercessory prayer as the disciples are confronted with this terrible, frightening possession. But she is standing back from the central action. She's unnoticed by them. She is making intercession for them. Now, I think we do well to connect this extended account of the Transfiguration miracle with the temptation of Christ by the devil in the desert. And that was the gospel that we have on the first Sunday in Lent. Both the Mount of Transfiguration and the Mount of Temptation both show the cosmic conflict going on between Christ and Satan, and Christ's definitive victory by the power of his passion and cross. And we can plumb the depths even further by bringing in the correlation of these mysteries with the apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes. And consider particularly the first two Sundays in Lent. Because Our Lady asked Bernadette to visit her there at the grotto for the period of a fortnight. A fortnight is 2 weeks, 14 nights. And this fortnight of visits began on the Friday after Ash Wednesday. It continued over the first two Sundays in Lent, and then it ended on the Thursday of the second week in Lent. Beginning with the eighth apparition, remember there were 18 in all, and that eighth apparition occurred on Ember Wednesday, first week in Lent, it's evident that there's sort of a development, a transition in the sequence of the apparitions. The first seven, they're for Bernadette alone. They're very personal to her, and it's as she's being trained and prepared for bringing a public message, which is meant for the whole church, indeed for the world. This public message includes what happens when the Lord's Spring is discovered. That's at the ninth apparition, Thursday of the first week in Lent. You can understand the mystery, how the water flowing from the side of the rock, the Masabiel, this is a symbol to us of the water and blood flowing from the side of Christ on Good Friday. And that water and blood which contains the sacramental grace of baptism. And there is also this fervent call on the doing of penance. This penance which is necessary to draw out a real conversion of heart. And it was during the 10th and 11th apparitions, which occurred on the Ember Saturday, which was yesterday, and the second Sunday in Lent, which is today, during these two apparitions, the heavenly vision, Our Lady, was instructing Bernadette to perform physical penitential acts in front of the gathered crowds. By this time, there were thousands of people there. And Bernadette had to climb the rocks on her knees, kissing the ground, and going back down and doing it over again. And this was deeply moving to the people who were looking on. And at the Sunday apparition, second Sunday in Lent, these thousands of onlookers, as they were watching Bernadette perform these exercises and her ecstasy of prayer, they began to kneel and to kiss the ground themselves. All of those people crammed so closely together. This is how moved they were by Bernadette's posture and how affected they were by the grace that was there in the grotto of the Masabiel at that moment. And recalling this event, it opens up to us, I think, a proper understanding of those words of Christ to the disciples as to why they were not able to cast the devil out of that possessed boy. Christ says to them, "But this kind is not cast out but by prayer and fasting." Now, our human mind turns very quickly to, okay, that it's a matter of a degree we must do, some kind of extreme fasting. We must do an extreme kind of prayer exercise, and this will be giving us the way to push this devil out. But that's not what Christ is getting at here. What he's getting at, rather, is that it is a consistent, persevering life of faithful prayer and of regular self-denial, which comes out of the believing heart, a really believing Christian heart. This is what casts out the devils. This is the opening that God is looking for in our souls in order to really work his saving power in the world, even to the point of casting out demonic power wherever it has managed to establish itself. And we have consolation in this because Our Lady's prayers are always advocating for us. Always she advocates for us with Jesus, Savior, her Son, as well as her Savior. And she lifts her own unsteady prayers and wobbly penances so that they may indeed find favor with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.